Good day, this is Evangelist Monique LaRue and I am part of the Restored Government of God. It is May 2019 and today my teaching is about how God cares for the soul within the boundaries of His covenant and how believers in turn care for God as they build His kingdom through fruit bearing. Let's begin by opening our Bibles to 1 Peter 5 verse 7. And here we read, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. This verse is often quoted by believers as encouragement to leave their problems with the Lord. Common examples of false doctrines that support this is let go, let God, Jesus take the wheel, God is bigger than your problems, and it's impossible with man, but possible with God. So these all are all familiar phrases that is often used in the Christian culture. But when these phrases are quoted for confidence, the expectation for God's peace is errantly placed in favorable circumstances. The believer approaches God with the expectation for resolve and feels relieved with the idea that all the problems that they have can be left with God and that He will take care of it and that they can now relax and just leave it in God's hands. Unfortunately, this practice turns the altar of God into a garbage dump, as that which is less than God, which is the issues that speaks about ourselves and our lives, is placed before the throne of God. God's altar is not a dumping ground. It is the place of prayer and sacrifice where we offer to God the fruit of our lips in praise and thanksgiving. It is important to know that God designed the altar of Christ to be the place where we meet with God, to commune with Him, and to offer to Him spiritual sacrifices that reflect Christ. This is how we care for God, and how God in turn cares for the soul by renewing it with the fruits of the Spirit. So let's look again at what Peter said. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. So if we look at this verse very closely, and we look at the word care, we see that this is a singular word and that the Apostle Peter is not casting his cares, which is a plural, upon the Lord. The Apostle Peter is casting his care upon the Lord, which means that the Apostle Peter is caring for God by the things that God has sanctified for our faith to serve Him. Peter is caring for the things of God by daily laboring in faith to build God's kingdom. He is casting his care upon the Lord. So when believers cast their cares upon the Lord, which is different, their only care is for themselves. So God is correcting this perspective and He's teaching believers that His peace is not found in the resolve of problems, but His peace is found in our divine service to Him at the altar of Christ. There are growth problems that arise when false doctrines such as let go, let God, and Jesus take the wheel are embraced for faith. The first problem that we're going to look at is that there is no equal exchange between the believer and God. And the second one is that there is a false expectation that is placed on faith. So let's look first at the lack of equal exchange that we can see in these philosophies. So what is an equal exchange? It means that the gift we offer to God is equal to the gift He gave us. Let's look at John 3 verse 16, which is a very verse that is so often quoted and so well known. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved and he so cared for the world that he gave Christ to die for the sins of the world and to establish a covenant in himself, so that we, as believers, might have a covenant relationship with God and learn how to care for him by offering to God the fruit of the Spirit. And this fruit of the Spirit that is born in the soul is equal to Christ. We see a divine exchange, Christ for Christ. And this is what God purposed should be between himself and each believer that serves him. Can you see how coming to the Lord with problems and hopes and dreams is not an equal exchange? Instead of the exchange between God and the believer being Christ, we see that false doctrines like let go, let God, are encouraging believers to come before the Lord with their problems, their desires, their dreams, instead of coming before the Lord with the purpose to build for him. The offering of self is the offering of the flesh. And this is like dumping garbage before the Lord. Each believer has been called of God to minister to him at his altar through prayer, which is mainly in tongues, and sacrifice, which speaks of our spiritual sacrifices. God expects this so that he might receive unto himself a gift that is equal to the one he gave us. Our prayer and sacrifices reflect Christ perfectly. And this is why God is an expectation of us offering this to him. So we cast our care upon the Lord in the same manner that he cares for our soul, with Christ being the center point of our faith. Again, we're not casting our cares upon the Lord. We are casting our care upon the Lord. And so far, we've seen that there is a big difference between these things. So faith is free, but it's not free of responsibility. As believers, we have a responsibility toward God to build for him and to care about him in the same manner that he cared for us. Christ for Christ. So the second problem that we are going to look at has to do with the expectation of faith. Okay, so the expectation of faith is misplaced when doctrines such as what is possible, impossible with man, but possible with God, when that is embraced and that is believed. So then there's a false expectation here, a misplaced expectation that we're going to look at. So we have to ask, what is the expectation of my faith? Is it for resolve? Or is it for the soul to take on the divine nature of Christ through fruit bearing? When circumstances, whether it's going well or whether it's going bad, when those things becomes the measure for faith, then a believer feels that faith is strong and on track if all goes well in his life. My faith is strong and God cares for me. However, in times when things are not going according to our plans, then God's involvement and care is questioned. Is there something I'm doing wrong? Do I have unconfessed sin? What must I do to release God's blessing in my life? What a roller coaster ride this is. Because we see here that when the expectation is not according to the promise of God, but according to the imagination of man, that faith goes on a roller coaster ride. Up and down. Then it's going, faith is going well when circumstances is favorable. And then when everything is going bad again, then there's something wrong with faith. So faith that is built upon expectation for resolve and an exchange of the flesh is a faith that is in crisis. And this is what God is fixing today with his restored government and his restored foundation, to heal or to redirect believers to put the expectation of their faith in his covenant. And we're going to look at how God cares for the soul in a little while. So God is redefining what it means to care for him, so that our faith can be built upon the foundation of Christ and our expectations redirected to the care that God offers for the soul within the boundaries of his covenant. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter 4 verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. So the part that we're focusing on here is to commit the keeping of their souls to him. So we commit the keeping of our souls to God. And we see the focus here on how God cares for the soul. This is God's number one priority, is to heal the soul and transform it into the likeness of Christ. So a scale question that we can ask when we look at this is God the keeper of our problems, or is he the keeper of our faith? A keeper is one that has charge or care of something. And so if we rephrase this question, we can ask, is God the caretaker or the resolver of our circumstances, or is God the caretaker of the soul? In this dimension, we are burdened with many needs. We need to take care of ourselves and those close to us. But as God pointed out to Martha, Martha complained that her sister was not working, but sitting at Jesus' feet, and that she herself had to do everything. So Jesus pointed out to her that the needs of the soul is more important than the needs of the flesh, and that it should be placed first. So we can again see that God's expectation for us is the needs of the soul first, and then that our expectation should not be for God to resolve our problems, but that our expectation is to receive God's care as he heals and beautifies the heart with the virtues of Christ. So God's children do bring their petitions before the Lord, and we know that God hears us and that he answers our prayers, but the focus of our faith does not lie with these things. The focus of our faith is always Christ. God is the keeper of our faith, meaning that he oversees our faith and not the affairs and issues of life. God's care is in his direct involvement in our faith to take us from flesh to flame so that our souls may mirror Christ. I'm now going to list the ways in which God cares for the soul within his covenant. And this is going to be quite different than that which believers have been taught in times past. Each of the 12 elements of Christ and the 9 tools of the covenant was designed by God with his care in mind. When we consider these things, our hope and our expectation shift to what God provides in his covenant to heal and restore us so that we may return to him perfect. So let's look at the 12 elements of Christ. There are 12 elements that define Christ and his covenant. And these are grace, faith, righteousness, sanctification, holiness, peace, rest, truth, charity, regeneration, and the renewing of the mind. And each one of these elements describes the operation of God in the soul as he heals and restores us from the taking us from flesh to flame. So in each one of these elements, we see God's care manifested. So let's look at the first element, grace. God cares for us through the issuance of grace, because grace never fails to bring understanding, enlarging the heart with virtue, and bringing single and sober-mindedness. God cares for us through the element faith. God has provided the tools of the covenant through which we can express our obedience to His grace through our willingness to yield and to reflect. The tools of faith provide access to God's grace so that the soul will continue to be nurtured in His care. God's care for us is seen in the element righteousness. For God has not left us without a standard to enable us to rise to His level and to continue to yield to grace to please the Lord through faith. God's care for us is seen in the element justification, which frees us from God's wrath and allows us to continue to serve the Lord without offense. God's care for us is seen in the element sanctification, as God has separated us from the world unto Himself through the engrafting of His Spirit within to begin the work of healing of the soul. God's care for us is seen in the element holiness, for God has provided the tools of the covenant so that we can choose to separate ourselves from the world unto Him and be declared holy, harmless, undefiled, and being made equal to God through faith. God's care for us is seen in the element peace. Peace accompanies grace to buffer the soul during times of resistance so that we might be able to bear the transition from flesh to flame. God's care for us is seen in the element rest. Our labor of faith allows us to rest from our labor with iniquity, so that we may be strengthened to continue in the faith. God's care for us is seen in the element charity. For God's love for us took on the form of Christ when He died on the cross to establish within Himself a covenant of faith, reconciling us with our Father in heaven. God's care for us is seen in the element truth. As God's knowledge was given for us as a well-defined path for our faith to follow, so that we may know Him. God's care for us is seen in the element regeneration, as He beautifies the soul through the law of grace and truth. God's care for us is seen in the element renewing of the mind, as we gain the mind of Christ, increasing in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding through each cycle of growth. And those are the 12 elements, and in each one we saw God's care for us. And now we're going to look at the tools of Christ. They are the contact points that God provided for us to access His grace. Government, truth, spirit, the gifts, the callings, the graces of God, prayer, preaching, and prophecy. So these tools give function to our faith, so that we may serve and care for God. And also, God's care is for us is also seen in each one of these tools as we make contact with Him. God's care for us is seen in government and begins with apostles, who sets the foundation of truth in the heart of believers, giving instruction in the structure and function of faith. God's care is seen in truth, for His knowledge directs us on the path of righteousness so that our service to God might be according to His good pleasure. God's care for us is seen in His Spirit, whereas He has provided for us the Holy Ghost. The Spirit engrafted in our souls through the baptism brings life to the knowledge of Christ as the witness of those things from above. God's care for us is seen in the 9 gifts of the Spirit, which is the words of knowledge and wisdom, as well as in His manifold graces, which includes dreams. With these tokens of edification and comfort, we are exhorted to reflect to further unlock the mystery of Christ. God's care for us is seen in the callings. God has provided the body with each of the 5 callings to assist the body and exhort us all to faith. These 5 callings being apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. God's care for us is seen in prayer. Praying in tongues is the most important tool that God has provided for the expression of our faith. And as we pray in tongues, the Spirit intercedes for the healing and restoration of the heart. God cares for the soul through the tool of preaching. That which is preached by the government of God is ordered by the headship of Christ, and it's free from the principal aspiration and imagination of man. God cares for the soul through the tool of prophecy. This is our spiritual sacrifices, so that we may offer unto God the gift of charity that carries the testimony of Christ, fulfilling God's commandment to love Him. Thank you for listening. Again, this is Evangelist Monique LaRue, the Second 8-Week Ministries. I encourage you to begin a covenant relationship with God today. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers of God's restored government are here to assist you.